You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today is a little bit of a rambly conversation, just be honest. And so if you're in real estate, have your notepad and pencil ready because there's lots of good information for you. If you're a normal person and you just enjoy real estate, you're probably going to enjoy it too. And especially if you're from up north and you like a Philly accent, you're going to love Maria Quattrone. So dial in here for this 20-year veteran of real estate, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, Maria, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
Good. So got Philly behind you looking prettier than it looks in real life?
Yeah, it looks like that.
From the highway?
From the highway. That's right. Yeah. How are you doing?
Got no complaints.
That's good. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the last time I saw you. I guess it was at a RE/MAX convention in probably like 15 or 16. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I'm still with the RE/MAX. I still have my brokerage with them. Whatever.
I mean, it's hard to make a change because if everything's working well and they're as good as any of the brands out there.
It's expensive to make the change.
It was, but I was glad that I opened my brokerage in January of 2020 because it's been a good time to go independent.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah. I have another, I think, like year and a half left on my agreement with them. So we operate as a team office. It really doesn't matter. It's just nice that people know the balloon and I don't use a lot of the tools. The tools I use are my stuff that I decided to use.
Pretty much every successful top producer that figures out a cobbled up mash of things that work for you.
Exactly. So you've been busy, eh?
I mean, glad to be busy. And as you know, like the markets might get weird, but that's when our phone calls pick up because people know we've been around long enough that they can call us and we know what to do.
No doubt. It's about to get real.
I mean, I hope so.
About back to real estate. When you actually would call people on the phone and have conversations with them and they can clearly see the difference between somebody with experience and somebody who's not as experienced. This is the marketplace for strong agents, brokers.
I agree. I think it's also the marketplace for the local expert who's not trying to be the agent in multiple markets, trying to pretend they know everything, because you can't know everything. Nobody can. So those of us that are like hardcore in our communities, very important because the market's so different between Philly and Concord. I mean, I wouldn't know what to do up there.
No. And I don't know. And I don't know anything about we do handle like the metro market, which in Pennsylvania, which is four counties.
Right.
Philadelphia is not very good right now. For obvious reasons, being a big city. And
it could have been better if Alan Dom had won the mayoral race. I was so bummed.
I know. We supported Alan, of course, and Alan's a friend and colleague
and a great human.
Genuinely a good person. A businessman, and he had the 8 years, 7 years, whatever it was, as a council at large. So a lot of experience in both the public and private sector.
So do you think the person who beat him is going to be thoughtful about real estate and what the needs are to protect the real estate market in Philly? Or are they willing to be educated?
I think she wasn't in my top three personally. I felt like there were two other better candidates than her. Rebecca Reinhart, who was city controller, would have been on that list for me. And Maria, but she dropped out early on. There were some people that I thought that dropped out that would have had a better platform.
Yeah.
That had a better platform.
Well, at least you didn't give me a hard no. So maybe there's some hope there that somebody can help her understand because, you know, you're unique in the fact that you're a top producing agent who also pays attention to this stuff. Because if we as realtors aren't paying attention to the politics where we live, that's how things get completely messed up because they pass ridiculous regulations and terrible zoning overlays. And then the cost goes up and then you can't get something zoned correctly. And then old people get trapped and can't get a handicap ramp. Like all these things start to impact housing. I mean, 99% of realtors probably aren't paying any attention to the mayoral race or the city council or the county commission, and it matters so much.
Yeah, there's a select group of us that do, but again, it's like the top couple percent that care. I mean, I would say like probably a decade ago, I probably didn't care as much, But I recognize that you do need to take a side and you do need to take a stance, and you do know that you're going to get criticized for it and be okay with that.
I'm okay with being criticized. The older I get, the less I care what other people think about
me. Yeah, I'm just like arguing with people right now on Facebook because I posted a picture of the new 76er stadium, which is like 9 years, 8 years, 7 years away. And they want to, the owners of the 76ers and the developer, David Adelman, he did a presentation at the Union League of Philadelphia this week, and I'm a member for 15 years. And one lady who actually sold a house to like 15 years ago is calling the Union League racist. I'm like, you have no idea what we're talking about. And they're saying, oh, another guy chimes in and says he shouldn't be allowed to preach to the people at the Union League. First of all, David Adelman is a real estate developer. He is a very, very successful entrepreneur. And he's a businessman, and he works in the private sector. Who are you to say that he can't go come and give a presentation about his development to the real estate club within the Union League? These people are nuts. So usually I would ignore them, but ignoring them isn't the answer. Speaking up and speaking your truth and don't give a F what they say is the answer.
Well, so what I told my kids, like, you know, my kids are 17 and 18 now. And I'm like, when somebody's obviously wrong, you just need to ask them to give you some statistics and data that explain why they think that way. I said, none of them have an answer. They just come back and they're all emotion. And if you just calmly say, give me something, give me a fact that backs up what you're saying. And my kids are both like, Mom, they walk away. I'm like, that's exactly right. I said, but you didn't give in and you stood your ground, but you were calm about it and you gave them a chance to explain, but they can't do it because they just want to be all riled up. Like that lady riled up at the wrong event for the wrong reason to stop good development. I guess they're going to try to change the name of the 76ers next. Is that what they're going to do next?
So somebody said to them, they asked a question to David, would you go to Camden? And David said, under no circumstances will the 76ers of Philadelphia leave Philadelphia.
Right. That's a good answer.
Because the 76ers like practice facility is in Camden, which is literally once you cross the Ben Franklin Bridge and you make two turns, you're there. It's like 2 minutes over the bridge.
Oh, okay.
So they have this big, big facility there and they got tax credits and all that from Camden. That's fine, but there'll never be a stadium in Camden, New Jersey. I mean, that will never, ever happen.
If you stay involved, that will never, ever happen, right?
They're not asking for government money to build this project. They are doing this. They're getting bank funding, right? They have a business plan and they can do whatever they want. They don't have to do what these people are. It's called like the right of freedom, the home of the free and the brave. Get it together, people.
And it's going to be good for that whole area. I mean, what do you think will happen to housing around the new stadium when they get it going?
Well, first of all, there is no housing around there, hardly anything. Oh. It's a desolate area. The area that they're going to be taking over at 11th and Market is like the gallery or something. It's not called that anymore, but it's a mall and it's terrible. It's just malls are obsolete in a lot of cases. And we can't get the big brand, the Gucci and Louis Vuitton and all these high-end luxury brands to come into Philadelphia because they're blackballed from King of Prussia Mall to open in Philadelphia downtown. So we have no luxury stores in the city. And so this mall is not going to be renewing and there's not going to be anything there. And in fact, David Adelman took Ron Rubin, who he passed away in his 90s, like 2 years ago. He brought Ron Rubin there. And Ron Rubin is the one who started this gallery marketplace decades ago. The malls were actually started in Philadelphia. Lip Brothers, Gimbel's, John Wanamaker's, all along Market Street. It was a vibrant and bustling community just steps from City Hall. Now it's desolate. It's horrible. And they're trying to bring it to life with a whole new thing, which is the stadium will sit on top of, it's a tier. It's like a cake. There'll be things underneath it and there'll be an entrance from the subway that right now it's on the side and they're going to be reposition that entrance so people can come right up from the subway, just like at Madison Square Garden.
Love that.
On the subway and you go right into the, you can go to the arena, but the first floor will also be retail. So the retail will always be open. And so it's not going to be like, oh, it's closed and there's now it's desolate. It'll be used every single day. In addition to that, we'll have an additional 50 concerts that will come based on, and they've spoken with Live Nation and the other concert. I can't think of the other big one, but Live Nation obviously is a huge one. And they said, yeah, we'll bring this many more concerts to the area. It's going to be a smaller stadium, 22,000 square feet. And 50% of season ticket holders live and reside in Center City, Philadelphia.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's huge. 50%. Because it's a higher end sports thing. Basketball is more expensive, tickets. And so the NBA teams are shrinking their stadiums to be more intimate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is something that they're doing across the board. And the facility that they're at now, the Wells Fargo Center, is very antiquated. They don't have the proper thing set up for the players. I personally don't like the place, and I don't like to track down to South Philly because you can't get out of there once you're there. You're like stuck in an hour in traffic.
Oh.
Horrible. And I'm only like 4 miles from there. And that's not getting home. That's getting out of there if you have a car or if you're trying to get an Uber.
Yeah, subway sounds way better than that.
Yeah. And there's a subway. You also have to like track yourself over to the subway and hope that you can get on one of the, you know, if they fill up, obviously.
I mean, it is amazing that anybody fights something like that that's going to bring something back to usable, pretty places people want to go. And then people fight it so that it stays down. Like, why people fight that? It's crazy. They're against their own best interest.
It goes beyond that. It's more of this right, left, far left side kind of stuff.
And it should just be, hey, we all live here. We want the city to be good. So let's find the way.
They think it's going to bring more crime. And when you have more people, generally, it's not more crime. It's less crime because
you got eyeballs.
Because you got eyeballs and they need to be protecting the people that are going. So, yeah.
So how long have you been in real estate? 15 years or that just with the RE/MAX?
In January will be 20 years.
Oh, what are you doing for your big 20th anniversary?
I don't know. We're going to have something though, because it'll be 10 with RE/MAX and 20 in the industry. We're going to do an event, I think.
Did you have to? And you can invite everybody.
You will invite everybody. Oh, yeah. I have to figure out how to do that because there has to be a budget.
Well, I guess you can go to Liberty Hall and you can just say, we'll stand outside and act like tourists.
Yeah, no.
Real estate gave me the freedom.
I'm definitely not going to be doing that, but it'll be something classy and fun.
So what did you do before real estate? Why'd you get into this?
I was in advertising sales for 11 years.
Okay.
So I learned how to door knock and to cold call. Really, it was a hard job, a hard career. And I went door to door calling on businesses. And then in year 10, I was already ready to move on to the next thing. I just wanted more opportunity. And that's when I found out about real estate because I didn't really know anything about it. And I worked both careers for almost a year and then behind the radio industry and forged ahead in real estate. They didn't see me coming.
I mean, can anybody see you coming?
No, they did not, though. And from the very beginning, I really wasn't well-liked because I started a team within like a few months being in the business and had an assistant right away in like 2 months. I was in a year and a half and I already started a real estate team. And back in 04 or 05, that wasn't really popular.
There was very few rare people. So who looked at you with squinty eyes when you did that? And what was their reason for that? Were they jealous or confused or just didn't understand it?
No, I think it was a little bit of jealousy, I think. I was doing a lot of transactions very, very early on. And
because you came in with the skills, though. You came in.
I came in with the skills. I did 11 years of
hard work.
Hard work. And even prior to that, I mean, I was a Girl Scout. I went door to door selling Girl Scout cookies. I sold wrapping paper and Christmas cards, Hanukkah cards as 10 years old, door to door, just because I wanted to make, I mean, a dollar for everything I sold. And that was a very early start in the journey of entrepreneurship. And I also had self-confidence. I didn't know everything, but I knew that I was taught, my parents taught me that you can do anything that you want to do once you set your mind to it and you don't need a man to do it. And they trained me as a child, a young girl, to be independent. And I was always asked a lot of questions. I lived in curiosity, almost to the point where it drove my mother insane. Because I would always ask what and why nonstop as a tiny little toddler. So, and you form your personality under the age of 5. I mean, by 5 years old, your personality is there. So
that's obviously like the perfect translation into real estate. And a lot of agents don't ask why. They don't ask what. They just go plowing right through. So would you say that's been part of your success is leaning into those early curiosity things as you look at a house or find out what their situation is?
So I think it's about the client asking a lot of really good questions, working with people from a standpoint of human, being engaged with them, being authentic, telling them the truth, being transparent, regardless of what they think, meaning it could backfire, but at the end of the day, it's okay. And you have to be okay with that. And, you know, when I entered business, it was busy and I didn't really know that much about what was going on, but I did know how to ask questions and I had a lot of enthusiasm and I was funny. So people liked to work with me. I would use humor a lot to kind of diffuse difficult situations.
That's kept secret in real estate because most people are saying, I'm a professional. They don't like, let's talk about this video camera over here in the corner. Can we put that away before we list the house? I mean, they need to look at the humor all around us.
Yeah, there's humor all around us. And then also learning very early on, because then all of a sudden it was 2007. It was actually had the end of six. It started to change in our business where the inventory started to accumulate. I didn't know a lot about it, but I knew enough to know that there's a lot of inventory coming, which means the sales are going away, and trying to convince sellers to lower the price now, that you will make more money now than you will later. And the ones that listened were very happy at the end. And I said, look, you're not going to like what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you this for your own good. And I said, do you want to cut one toe off at a time, or should we just chop off the foot now, get the property sold? Because it's very painful, one little toe coming off.
I've never heard price adjustments described that way. And
I think that was from Mike Farry, by the way. Okay.
Why do you know what it hurts to cut a toe off? Have you lost a toe? Because you said that very confidently, like, it hurt one, it hurts a lot.
No, I have not lost a toe. But I really think that was a Mike Farry thing. And yeah. I started with Farry in probably like 06.
He might be the one coach I've never had. I never heard Tom say it, but he tries to do everything different than Mike. So,
so Mike is like very down to matter of fact. Like, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to say. He's an OG. I mean, his scripts still work. Calling a seller expired. When do you plan on interviewing the right agent to get the property sold? When you sell this home, where are you going next? How soon do you have to be there? What did you like that the last agent did or didn't do? How many showings did you have? Did you have any offers? What were the challenges? I can go on and on and on with it, but I started calling expires recently this year because there's a lot here in Philadelphia. And training the staff or the other agents how to do it by modeling it and then replaying my conversations so that they can learn and then break, not just replaying it, but stopping it and then discussing it and writing it down. Here's all the things that we do to get property sold. Is it virtually safe? Does it have a home warranty? Does it have a pre-inspection? Is the listing description written properly? Most of the times, you have to write a listing description as if the person lives in Alabama and they're coming to Philadelphia. They don't know anything about Philadelphia. This is not in there. Is there, what's the walk score? What's the bike score? What's the roundup? What is the school district? All these things are left out of listings all the time because they're not, the broker unfortunately doesn't know, or most of the time they don't really know what to do because they're buyer's agents and not listing specialists.
So it's interesting that, by the way, if you're watching or listening to this and you are earlier in your real estate career, you need to pause and back up and write down as quickly as you can all of those script questions Maria spit out there so quickly, because the reason most agents don't use scripts, as you know, Maria, is because they say they're going to sound canned, but they don't realize that if you would just practice these things, they will sound like you. And the reason we ask these questions and they work is because they respond to what humans need and what's going on in real estate. That just doesn't change over time. It's so fascinating. Market conditions change, and you're right, expireds are creeping back in, but we know houses are bought and sold all the time, and humans at their heart want to figure out how to get in a house of their own, and they want to figure out how to sell the one they have. And all the rest of the details we have to put together, like you said, just explaining how each market works. If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky-high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
I want to jump back on expired since we're filming this in September of 2023 and our markets are showing some signs of shift. What are you finding when you talk to these people whose listings are no longer active? Were they getting any communication on market conditions or were they dealing with agents who think we're still in the middle of COVID and they can just shove a sign in a yard and Shazam it'll have offers?
So I had one yesterday where what happens is because I know exactly what to say, and I'm very succinct and direct and transparent in my communication, it's clear from their experience in the past to the experience with me 20 minutes on the phone that they were bamboozled in some way, shape, or form. The listing broker in the case of walkthrough that I'm going to have next week, they never got the pre-approval on BFI from the first offer. So how do you even present an offer without a BFI and a pre-approval? It's just a lack of experience.
So that seller signed an offer to purchase with no information about the finances for the buyers, and then it falls through? And the other agent probably acted surprised, I would guess.
Yeah, because the seller didn't know that they were supposed to have a BFI signed, and she didn't know that they didn't have the pre-approval. So that, to me, is just sheer neglect.
It is.
They didn't offer HWA warranty. There's a whole series of all these little details that are missed. Now people have already moved and their house is vacant. And in the place, in the area that they live, that house should have been sold, but she also overpriced it, the listing agent. So a combination of a lot of mistakes. The next one I talked to yesterday or the day before, he was another expired. We had called him. We didn't reach him. We also sent letters. So I got to thinking, now, my letter was like nicey nice. Oh, you know, you're frustrated and this is why I might not have sold. Now I revamped the letter. The letter is very direct and I promise them I will not waste their time. It will be worth their 15 minutes to have a conversation with me. So we just changed the letter. So what's happening is we're sending letters and then look at the house on the mark. I look at the pictures. I said to him, do you have a kitchen and do you have a living room? There was no picture of the kitchen. Yes, I did. There was no picture of the kitchen, no picture of the living room, no picture of the exterior of the house. Now, it's a little house.
Doesn't matter. There was no picture of the exterior. No.
It's not. Yes, it doesn't matter. That's the point. You have to treat every listing like it's $1 million listing. You have to put all the things. It's CRA qualified, which means 3% down, no PMI.
What is CRA? Community Reinvestment
Act? It's called Community Reinvestment Act. And so
bond money?
Yeah, so certain size banks have to do these loans. So there's benefits. So the buyer can get 3% down conventional, not FHA, conventional with no PMI and a lower interest rate than what the prevailing interest rate is, up to a point less. That is a tool in the toolbox for every agent. And again, not in the listing. So we sell listings with the tools, right? HWA warranty, staging it, virtually staging it's a vacant property, all these things. Within 20 minutes, he's like, okay, I already looked you up, by the way. Your reviews are glowing. And I said, great. So here's what we're doing next. I can't tell you the price of the property yet because I haven't seen the kitchen or the living room. I said, but I'll send you listing paperwork out via DocuSign. Will you be able to sign it this evening? So how much by when? I'm telling them what the next steps are. Great. I need the keys. Will you be able to drop them off at my office? He said, yeah. I said, could you come tonight? You drop them in the Dropbox. He dropped him in. He signed the paperwork. That was on Wednesday night. On Thursday morning, my field services manager went out, signed, lockbox, keys, pictures, all came back last night. They went out today to be virtually staged and it'll go on the market. And that piece of business was a conversation because there was a phone message left and there was a mailer that was sent, signed by me. And then he did his due diligence before calling. And that's how quickly in real estate you can get a deal.
If you do the work,
like that.
I said that in, if you do the work. So you know how it is. If you see a house on the market and you got all these photos, but there's nothing in the kitchen, the assumption is it must be the ugliest, most dated kitchen ever. So I have to ask, was the kitchen terrible or was the agent literally just so lazy they didn't have the picture in the listing?
The agent was negligent. The kitchen was nice. It had granite countertops. It was renovated maybe 2 years ago.
In my head, I had Formica. I had some old pickled oak. Remember pickled oak? We had cabinets. It was bad.
Hardwood on the first floors, carpeting upstairs.
So as a consumer, you have to understand, like, this is why your pictures are important. And I think sometimes people forget this because agents do think, well, I can use my iPhone and get away with it. No, you can't. There's a difference between an iPhone photo and a professional with lighting. But then as a consumer, you may have thought, well, the only picture that matters is the outside. No, it does matter, because if we don't see that picture, we also assume you're hiding a broken out window and a power line in the back. But we're looking at the pictures to see if it's a complete folder. And whenever we see something missing, the assumption is that something's being hidden. And so you got to remember that in a world of transparency, leaving it out is an admission of bad. But then when you get somebody good on it, like Maria's saying here, the house might could have sold if somebody had slowed down and done it correctly. So you should, as a consumer, ask your agent, what are they doing about the photos and the marketing and the drone and the video and all the pieces that will allow that out-of-state buyer to see it? Because you already referenced, you know, the buyer in Alabama who's maybe coming to Philly has no concept of anything. So leaving anything out can keep them away from buying the house.
Absolutely.
And it's so easy.
This is not difficult stuff, but it does require, and that's the other thing I'll go back to, it does require a team. So in my company, our broker record, who's also my listing partner, our COO, there's my executive assistant, transaction coordinator, an admin, two marketing admins, field service manager, agents, mortgage. So it does take a team to get it done. And then I have a great team behind me. I just happen to be the one who, I call it, like, I drive business into the company through the marketing, and I help with signing up new clients. And then the team takes over from there with direction from myself or my EA. And here's the next steps. And we tell the client what the next steps are. Future pace everybody. Future pace your agents. Future pace the clients. Tell them what's going to happen next. And by the way, on any real estate transaction, there's probably going to be a hiccup or two, but it's okay, because we've closed thousands and thousands of real estate deals, and we know exactly what to do, even if there is a hiccup, and I promise it will get the settlement on time.
I love that phrase, future pacing, because that's one of the biggest frustrations most consumers have with real estate is, well, what's happening next and what's going on? And they feel like they got to a step and they have no idea what's coming next. And you're setting them up for some expectations, knowing we can't predict everything, but at least they have not so much cloudiness as a lot of their peers have.
Yeah, and I think you need to understand also the personality of a client. So are they somebody who just wants bang, 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 driver, let's go? Or do they need to be heard and they have the longer conversation, right? Somebody's probably more expressive. Or are they analytical? Do you need to talk facts, figures, stats, and provide them with written things in paper to show them? Or are they just amiable and you need to be nice and be their friend and, you know, hold their hand a little bit? So you really need to understand. Otherwise, if you're just like me, drive, express, and you don't slow down for the other analytical and amiable, you'll lose that business.
You will. And there's no reason to lose it if you just slow down a little bit. Now, Maria, as you may know, the whole purpose of my show is the crazy shit in real estate. It's all the things that we've seen, especially over almost 20 years for you, that you still can't believe you ever saw it in real estate. And it could be funny. It could be sad. It could be shocking. So I want to know, if we were having an adult beverage and sitting down laughing about our real estate careers, what's the story you would tell me about this one time in Philly?
So one time, I go to show a 6-unit apartment building, and I walk in and they're naked on the couch, smoking weed, and a gun sitting on the table.
Oh.
And I just banged on the door.
That's a lot going on.
Real estate. Real estate. Nobody answered. So I opened it with the key, and this is what I find. I rolled out like in 5 seconds. I'm like,
like, I didn't see anything.
Walked in, people having sex. I mean, you can't make this shit up.
No.
I mean, there's so many things. People are calling me, the house is on fire. I'm like, why are you calling me? Call 911. The house is on fire.
That's your listing that was on fire?
Yes. Call 911.
How did it get on fire? Was it vacant?
It was vacant.
Oh, insurance money?
Possibly. I had FBI call about it. There's another crazy thing. This couple calls, they said they have this property. Their uncle or whoever is incarcerated. They need to sell the property. We said, fine, come in. We need to ID you. Bring the PMA, right? They come in, they bring the PMA, sign the listing contract. The next day, the sign goes up, and we have people calling my office screaming bloody murder that that's their house. And it was a completely different person. So they didn't live in the house. It was a tenant. I mean, it was a vacant house. But then the neighbor saw the sign up and they called their friend who no longer lives there and said, your house is on the market. And here, this was a scam. Yeah. So I called Philadelphia. I had a call from the FBI from Philly and I explained it. I said, here's the paperwork and everything. But they're nuts. People are nuts. We have to be really careful from safety. We just did a safety thing with Parr this morning. Al Perry was on it.
I love Al. Parr, yeah. Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, by the way, listeners, if you're out of state, so that's the Pennsylvania Association. Al's their 2023 president, and
that's correct.
The nicest people to ever live.
Yeah. So Al's in Philadelphia. He's like 4 miles from our office, whatever. So he was on today talking about realtor safety, and he had another woman on. And they were talking about these crazy things that happen to realtors, like, and you have to really be safe and you have to know your surroundings and you don't get in your car and sit there and not have the door locked and start texting people, right? That's how you get carjacked. So
did he tell you about that case in Philly where the guy was found with his neck slit outside the shop?
No, but I mean, I knew him.
And he didn't get found for what, a day and a half or something?
Yeah. And his daughter went there and found him. I think it was Geraldo Martinez, maybe?
That might be right. I need to look it up. But I think that's one of those things people forget about real estate. Like, we deal with scams, we deal with liars, we deal with naked people. But it's also, we're out there in the public all the time with people we've never met, often by ourselves. And then, like you said, sit outside a house. You have no relationship to that house. You don't know the neighbors. They don't know you. They don't know your car. And you're just sitting out there texting, killing time and not keeping your head on a swivel. So you've got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, have to always be aware of your surroundings. And also, it's a good rule of thumb, like, hey, what kind of car are you going to be in? I'm going to be in this kind of car. Or sometimes I have a driver. That's my husband.
Oh, I was like, that's the smartest hire ever.
Well, you know, it helps me be able to maneuver around to do all these listings and to be able to soar while I'm in the car.
So my husband's retiring next year, and I hadn't thought about just having him be my driver, but I would be so efficient if I could work while he's driving.
Yes. And you have a perfect person.
Right? I mean, he gets road rage.
He's going to take care of you more than him.
He just has to road rage less when I'm on the phone. That's all. He's from New York, so he makes fun of Pennsylvania drivers, so you understand.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, this is why I don't even like to drive. I prefer walking, but I do handle the metro market, so I go within an hour of the office. And we're not getting any more office space. It's not necessary. Like, this is our hub. We'll go an hour all around.
And then you can go out and see some green space, and you probably just want to come back to the city, don't you?
Okay, so no. I went to an area, Buckingham Township, last week, and I saw a sign that said tomatoes. I was like, I love tomatoes, especially a fresh tomato off the farm. So I pass by, I'm going to the listing. I leave the listing, and I'm like, I'm going to that tomato. I'm getting tomatoes. So I pull in, and there's no people. I'm like, where's the people and where are the tomatoes? So I get closer and I see the tomatoes on this like little stand. So I get out of the car. The car is running. I bring my little purse with me, my little wallet, and there's still no people. So I see a little sign. It says, pick up the tomato, place it on the scale. Scale's already set. Put the tomatoes in the bag and whatever it says on the scale, drop the money in the tin.
So an honor system.
An honor system. I did a video about this. Lee, I don't know if you know this, but I go live every single day to teach realtors and consumers about real estate. So I did a video on the honor system from a listing after a listing appointment and what it, you know, and lesson learned in that. And first of all, the tomatoes, oh my gosh.
Amazing.
They were so darn good. And when I go back up there next week, I don't know if there'll be any tomatoes left, but if they are, I'm going to make sure to get a bunch of them. I took little pictures of the sign and the tomatoes. but I felt joy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's so lovely here. I'm going back to like the gritty place. How do I live out here? But it's too far for the office.
That's okay. Just drive out there. Then you can go back to the gritty and then you go back to the green.
Then I go down the shore, as we call it here. The beach, we call it down the shore.
We call it the beach. Why do y'all call it the down the shore?
We go down the shore. It's just what it's called here. And Philly people call it go down the shore. And then if you're down the shore, then you say, I'm going to the beach. Meaning we don't say going to the beach because going to the beach is implied that you're on the beach. So we call it going down the shore.
So the shore is the whole area, but the beach is the actual beach.
That's right.
Oh, because we say down at the beach is basically all the counties down there. I mean, it's a pretty broad area.
Yeah. So people here in Philadelphia and South Jersey, so we call it going down the shore. And then we're down the shore. Then I'll say, oh, I'm going to the beach today. Because you can be down the shore and not go to the beach. But
why would you do that?
A lot of people don't go to the beach.
No, you go to the beach.
But we do, and I sit under the umbrella, actually. I have a good tan now, I don't know if you can tell, but that's from the biking and the walking, and the rest of the time, I'm under the umbrella, because I don't want to get any kind of skin cancer or whatever, and I don't want to be burnt either.
Yeah, it's the burn that hurts, but then once you get the base tan built, you're good for a while.
Yeah, no burn this year.
But now we're heading into fall, the tan's going to fade.
Yeah. Well, but it's still 90 in real estate degrees here.
Yeah. Where are we here today? Oh, we're at 84 today, so not too bad.
Yeah.
So, Maria, I love that we can end on a happy story of the honor system at the tomato cart because that's such a happy thing. So, tell our listeners, if they're looking for somebody in Philly, how can they find you and your amazing team office?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we handle the metro market, which is Philadelphia County, Montgomery, Delaware, and Bucks. And I'm on social media, all of them, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, just my name, Maria Quattrone, Quattrone. And you can Google me and we come up. We have over 500 Google reviews, so you can learn a lot about us from just writing in Google, and you'll see hundreds of videos of it come up as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's good to see you again after so long, and hopefully I'll see you in person at some point.
Absolutely. Great to see you, Lee. Thank you so much for the opportunity today, and I look forward to seeing you.
All right, guys, say something nice about Maria in the comments or tell us about your honor system tomatoes where you are, because I know everybody out there got a visual. Follow us for more, and we'll see you next time over here on Crazy Shit.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more Crazy Shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.